All right. So thank you so much for watching us, or people who are not watching us. We will just like record this. And welcome to SEO Happy Hour. I'm Adriana Vujadin and I am SEO manager and coach for SEO professionals. My purpose of this SEO Happy Hour is actually to talk about some topics that nobody's talking about and definitely provide some additional insights on how SEO professionals can live their life with ease and grace, and then don't just like struggle and like work hardworking every day. So in today's episode, I'm pleased to have Kat Gilbenberger like in this episode, because actually she's talking about very unusual topic that we don't see in other like channels or something like that. And when I first saw Kat, it was on Brighton SEO conference, and I was blown away when she joined the stage, when she started talking about her SEO journey, and then like especially like these unique situations that definitely we will discuss even today. So our core topic is changing your career and staying in the industry that you like. Kat mastered that definitely. So thank you so much for joining, Kat, and please let us know about your SEO journey, and then we will move to the core topic.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for the nice words. That's very, very kind of you. My name is Kat Goldborn. I am a HR and recruitment manager at an agency called SEOMG, and I've been doing this for 2 years now as a HR manager. However, prior to this role, I was doing SEO. I was a content SEO consultant for over 12 years, 13 years or so, and I was doing that obviously for a very long time. And yeah, up until about 2 years ago, that was my plan, and then I switched careers. But I'm still in the SEO industry because, you know, I love it. I love the people, I love the topic. I think it's really fascinating. And even though I'm not doing my old role, which was kind of a content SEO consultant role, I'm still in the industry and I'm still involved with people who do that for a living every single day within my agency, except I now do something different and I help them kind of improve their work-life balance and find kind of their purpose and make sure that they're happy in their workplace. And yeah, I still get to be in the industry that I find interesting and I love. So yeah, it's been great, but that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, and that's interesting because people, when they are just like trying to do, for example, in the SEO or PPC, doesn't matter, like digital marketing, and for any kind of reasons, like they don't want to stay in that role. Usually they are moving for some, I don't know, administration tasks or something like that. Even they love the part of digital marketing, PPC or SEO. So how did you find that gap? Like, what do you want to work on and still stay in the same industry that you are passionate about? Because in our initial talk, like you were basically providing the actual steps, like how you can define this. And I really like the approach. So if we can bring that approach again here.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, I should say, so I am in the SEO industry, but honestly, it's digital marketing. So it doesn't matter if you're in SEO or not, if you're in PPC, if you're in PR or something related, but you want to stay in the industry that you're in, hopefully the advice will still be really helpful to you. But yeah, so how I kind of found what I wanted to do is, you know, I know it's something that may not work for everyone, but hopefully it'll be something that, you know, you will find useful, at least be able to replicate for your situation. But essentially for me, I, you know, it wasn't a decision that I made lightly. So I feel like I need to start this off with an honest, you know, honest confession that this isn't something that I took lightly. I didn't just wake up one day and thought, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. It was a lot more actually quite emotional than that. It was something that I took incredibly seriously. So I think the first step before you get to the actual process of deciding, you need to be really, really honest with yourself first and ask yourself, you know, do you still love what you do? And if the answer is yes, then maybe it's where you're working that's not the right fit for you. And that's something, you know, that's something else. That's a talk for someone else. But if you have decided that, you know, you don't really You don't really want to do what you're doing at the moment. Maybe you don't dislike it, but you're just not feeling it anymore and you want to move into a different direction. But you also love the industry that you're in. That's slightly different. So that means that, you still want to be in the industry, but you just don't want to do what you're currently doing anymore, but you still want to be involved. So, you need to, before you get onto the steps and the process of deciding what that's going to be, you need to have an honest discussion with yourself of whether, one, you still really like the job you're doing. And if the answer is yes, then maybe moving into a different job isn't the right solution. Maybe moving companies or somewhere else is actually the better solution. But if it's not and you want to move, then decide. The second thing is whether you like the industry that you're in or not. So you need to ask yourself that question first. And if the answer is no, then you may have to do a little bit more soul searching to actually determine what the thing is, what's making you actually feeling unsatisfied or unhappy or unfulfilled. So there's that. So step one is be really honest with yourself and discuss, even with your partner or friend, someone you can trust, if you're not sure that, you want to leave it with yourself because you're like, maybe I'll need someone else's opinion or at least someone else's, perspective on this. Speak to someone you trust or have a chat with yourself in terms of, right, is it the job or is it the industry? But let's assume, for the sake of this topic, that you want to move into another career, but you love the industry. So that's what happened with me. So I for various reasons, and I won't go into it too much, but I still really love content SEO. Like, I still love SEO for a lot of reasons. I still think it's really interesting. It's always evolving. There's always something new. Google's always throwing a new algorithm our way. It's a fascinating industry to be in, search and digital marketing as a whole, I think. So I very much decided that whilst I still love content, I still love SEO, I wasn't personally in a position to be able to carry on the job that I was doing before, which was a content SEO consultant. And, for me, it was a combination of I was getting a bit jaded with what I'd been doing because I've been doing it for a long time. But also, I had health implications that had forced my hand to make that decision as well. So that is me being honest. But luckily, for me, a lot of things worked out. So I decided I wanted to be in the industry. I needed to move into a role. And I did kind of the following. So this is what I recommend. So get a piece of paper. A4 piece of paper, just a big piece of paper. And what I would do is I would split it into three columns. Now, I know this sounds a bit, it sounds a bit involved, but having stuff written down, seeing it visually really, really helps, by the way. So I know some of you might be thinking, like, I don't need to do this, I can do it in my head. I am that person normally as well, but I really, with such a big decision like swapping careers, like moving on to a completely different role, a different job, you need to, I hate to say, you have to put in a little bit of the work. And if it's just writing some columns on a piece of paper, I think that's not too bad. So I highly recommend actually doing that. So get a big piece of blank paper, split it into three columns. And what I did was the following. So in one column, it doesn't matter which order you do these in, but in one column, I wrote the skills that I have. So what can I do? What am I capable of doing right now? So, I can do SEO, I can do content audits, I can do copywriting. And that was kind of the stuff that I wrote down. It doesn't have to be completely granular, by the way. So you don't have to list like all your soft skills, for example, but list all the important things that you think you're particularly good at and particularly skilled at. So that's one column in terms of my skill set. What can I do? What do I do really well? So the second column, what I would do is what you would like to do. This at this point is has to be reasonable, by the way. So, I mean, I know we all want to put down, maybe I just want to sit on a beach and be a millionaire and not work at all, but that's not a reasonable thing to put down. So, write, what you would like to do. And that can be something like, I want to work with people more, or I want to work with a charity, or I want to learn more, technical skills. Like whatever you would like to do more of, write that in the second column or one of the columns that you've got listed down. So at the moment, you've got skills that you're capable of, so things you can do. And then the other column, which is things that you'd like to do, or places you'd like to work for, that kind of thing, just like a very much a goals, aspirations that are reasonable. And then in the third column, this is where you have to, again, have to check in with yourself and be a little bit honest. So you've talked about what you can do, what you'd like to do, and you have to talk about the last column, which is basically things that are transferable or reasonable for you to do. So, you could put down something like, so in the aspirational column, you could put things like, oh, I want to, only work 2 days a week and I want to work in a charity. And the third column is basically, okay, out of the things that you can do and the things that you'd like to do, what are the features, the underlying themes across those things that you can probably actually like reach? And so if you've written things like you're a good copywriter, and you'd like to work for a charity, but you only work 2 days a week, the third column should be, well, if it's for the right job, you could probably work 4 days or 5 days a week. It's very much the third column is the things that are actually reasonable and things that you are willing to compromise on. So that's really important. So things you can do, things you'd like to do, and the last one is kind of like a marriage between the two of what's reasonable, what can you actually do between those two columns that you're willing to compromise on, if that makes sense. So once you've got that list, and it doesn't have to be like perfect, it doesn't have to be granular, you will be able to start identifying very key themes across the board, and you'll be able to get that information. And what I did then was made a list off the back of all that information that I wrote down of basically jobs that I knew were out there that could facilitate this. So, using myself as an example, because obviously it's easier for me to do, I put down obviously skills that I could do as copywriting, SEO. And so in that third column, where I said things where you're willing to compromise on or that are reasonable, I knew that I couldn't do these things anymore for my personal reasons. So I knew that I couldn't shortlist jobs that required that. So I took looked down the list and I saw things like, what are you good at? What can you do? And I saw, oh, good at people. I'm a very good project manager. I'm very organized. And, on the aspirational part, I put things like I'd like to help people with work-life balance. And so between those two columns, as well as the kind of the reasonable, what I call like the reality column, I kind of form that actually there is a job that I could do here because it involves both the things that I can do, I'd like to do, and that I'm willing to compromise on based on kind of the reality of the situation. And so I came up with a list off those columns of jobs and things that I could do based off that list. And I had a little look. And I really, really thought about that. So I had things like HR manager, I had L&D manager, I had diversity and inclusion manager, like all of those sort of roles. I also had like consultant, like trainer, like I had lots of things on that role that I thought, okay, I could do. And I just basically did my research. I sort of thought, okay, well, what other factors are there? And based on the reality column, I put things like I needed this level of salary to maintain my lifestyle and things like that. And I used that information to narrow down that job list on a separate piece of paper, wrote all that down. And once I had more information, I could make a better decision on that. And for me, I landed on, well, it's clearly going to be HR manager or L&D manager or recruitment, because I like talking to people and I really want to help people in the industry that I'm in. And so normally, what you would do then is you would go job hunting, right? You would go look for a job with those requirements and, apply. Luckily for me, though, I was already in, like I said, the industry that I wanted to be in a company I wanted to be in as well. And so I took that to my boss, basically. And yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure if you were gonna ask a question or I was gonna carry on. But yeah, basically I took all that information to my boss and I proposed an entirely new job, essentially, which I know can be a bit nerve-wracking for some people. And I was in a slightly different position in that at the time, my agency didn't have a HR manager. There wasn't a HR manager, and there wasn't someone who was in charge of kind of talent acquisition within the business. So I was in quite a good position in that, luckily, what I was proposing to do and what I wanted to do, also coincided with the fact that it was in the industry that I wanted to be in a company I wanted to be in, and that currently that position didn't exist in the company as well. So there were a lot of factors there that worked for me, but it didn't necessarily make it easy, by the way, because just because you're proposing something doesn't mean that they necessarily have to say yes. So it is still nerve-wracking, by the way. But yeah, I took all that information, did my research, and kind of proposed the position to my boss, really.
Yeah, you were mentioning like few times that actually these factors, external factors, like work for you. But what I can see is actually that all these things you created, because you created an approach, you created your job, you created like where would you like to see yourself? Then you went to your boss and you asked. So basically nothing worked for you. You worked for yourself. You created like all these opportunities. And that's the key, because like we are expecting that, like, I don't know, something will work for us. And like I'm okay with that, but like I will take responsibility to speed up that process if I really want to make it. And like that owning and like ownership of like what we want to do, where we want to work, what kind of job we want, that is our responsibility. And
A
I don't
hundred
want to
percent.
wait for anyone, because if I like that, like I will do everything to get that.
It's a really good point, actually. And it's very difficult when I'm in my position. I don't see it like that. I think other people see it, but you forget that's exactly basically what happened. So yeah, that's a really good point and a really good kind of reminder for me, because no, you're basically right. I one of the things as well that I hope will be helpful for everyone who's listening or watching, in case all of this gets lost in my waffling, but one of my biggest tips is you have to show initiative. You have to be proactive. This job wasn't offered to me, by the way. I need to say that very, very clearly. My directors are lovely people who took a chance on me. But when they hired me for a completely different role, by the way. And luckily, they're nice people. And it worked out for all of us, but they would have been completely entitled to turn around and say, "I'm really sorry. We're really sorry. We can't facilitate this." And they're not wrong for doing that, by the way. So I should say, if your boss or whoever's in charge says that to you, that's not necessarily because they don't want to help you, but it's because maybe they're not in a position to give you what you want at that time in that company. So yeah, remember that. But basically, be incredibly proactive and show initiative, because that's exactly what I did. And I think, had I not been, I'm not sure I would have been offered the position, if I'm honest. I think you are going to be your biggest cheerleader, and I think everyone needs to remember that. The people you love you, but no one is going to like fight for you and give you the opportunities that you want unless you say, "I deserve this. I am worth this, and I can prove it to you." No one is going to give you that. You have to be very bold and be very honest and say, "No, I would like this, please. I can do this, and I'm going to show you by doing X, Y, Z." So yeah, it's really important to mention that I approached my boss with this. They didn't offer it to me, by the way. They took a chance, and I'm so thankful they did, but I approached them. So if you're sat there thinking, "Okay, well, I've done step one, Kat, I'm just going to wait now," you're going to be waiting a long time. You're
And
going to
then
be waiting
saying,
a
Kat,
long
this is not
time.
working.
Yeah, Kat, this didn't work. Your advice was rubbish. Yeah, it's a very much a two-phase approach here. You have to do the work and the research, but then you have to go out and fight for it and prove it. So there's a two-parter to this, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a very good point.
And here are two key factors: fear of rejection, what will happen if they say no, like they will hurt us.
Yes.
And then the second thing, actually asking like and providing basically the steps, like what just like making them easier to say no, to say yes to you.
Yes,
Because you provided
100%.
actually everything. I will do this, like you know that I know on SEO, then I will be HR, like definitely that is a benefit. So making them easier to just like say, yeah, like we are completely okay. And like even they are putting you kind of like, no, we can't do that for any kind of reasons. Like That's totally okay because like now you decided like what you want, and then you will just like move and you will find a company that will actually provide you.
Yeah.
But what we are also missing here is actually that people who are we if we are asking something from our managers, like team members, doesn't matter, like clients, for if we don't ask, they don't know what we want. And
100%.
also in these crazy times, they are kind of like about fires that they currently have. If we are not bringing anything, if we are not mentioning anything, they just like they have their family issues, family others, like they'll have like a lot of things. So it's not that they don't love us, it's not that they don't appreciate us. It's just like this world is crazy. And then if you are not saying something to your manager, like of course that like she is or he like he is not thinking about that because they don't know. They are so overwhelmed by all these things. So don't take it just like personally. Go there, ask there. Doesn't matter if it's salary increase, if it's like projects that you are overwhelmed by all these projects. It doesn't matter, like, oh, you are looking for another position in the same company, or like doesn't matter. Just like ask. But the first blocker fear of rejection is just like huge. And people don't realize that this is something that can help you to move further. If they are saying no, then you are closer to the second yes.
Basically, again, this is something that I'm glad you brought up because again, it's people don't talk about it, and we should. But it's easy for me to say. I know in reality everyone's a bit different, but I did not go into this meet. I didn't go into my meeting with my boss and my director or boss directors. I didn't go into that meeting assuming they would say yes, by the way. I didn't go in confident thinking, oh, this is in the bag, even knowing that there wasn't a position currently in the business and that I would be technically fulfilling kind of, a gap within the business. I still didn't assume that I had this in the bag. So first off, never assume you know the answer, whether that's positive or negative. Never go in assuming that you already know what's going to happen because you don't. You don't, okay? You don't. So if some of you are sat there thinking, oh, well, I'm not even going to bother because they're going to say no, you don't know that. You really don't know that. But likewise, I didn't go in thinking they were going to say yes to me either. I went into that, as you said, I'd prepared. I did my research. I went in with all the numbers. I went in with salary range. I went in with job description. I went in with things that I would be able to do in my first, 3, 6 months within this role. I already had it planned out what I wanted to do, what we didn't have, what I'd be able to fulfill. Like I had a comprehensive list. I had a PowerPoint presentation. I couldn't have gone in more prepared and yet so nervous. Like, because I didn't know they were going to say yes. I didn't know they were going to say no. I didn't know what they were, I genuinely didn't know what they were going to do. So, my advice out there to you is don't assume you know what the outcome is, either positive or negative. And once you accept that, weirdly, because it is, it's just truth. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. No one does. Once you know that, it's weirdly quite calming because you don't know. It could be a yes, it could be a no. If it's a yes, great. You're one step closer to the goal that you wanted to reach, and you came more than prepared. So they don't have any counter arguments because hopefully you've got all the answers or you've got as many answers as possible. If you don't, you can just say, that's really good. I don't actually know the answer to this. Can I get back to you on that? And just go find out. Because that's not saying, oh, I don't know, or I don't know what to do. It's just saying, oh, I didn't think about that. That's a really good point, though. Let me find out and get back to you as soon as possible. And then obviously do that. If the answer is no, then yeah, could be a bit disappointing. But at the end of the day, it's the risk you take. Going into that meeting saying you want to switch career is a risk. It's a risk you're going to have to take. And if it's a risk you don't take, then you're not going to get the answer or the outcome that you want anyway. So if the answer is no, then you're one step closer to, well, okay, well, that was disappointing, but at least I now know that it's probably not possible here, but I can go elsewhere. And I've done all my research and I know what I can do. And I know the next step now, which is I have to go find somewhere else. So either way, you have some sense of closure and you also know what to do next. So if you look at it that way, it's not that scary really, because at least one way or another, you're going to get an answer and that's going to lead you to what to do next.
Because another risk is actually just like staying in a job that you don't like, that you don't enjoy, and then like getting like all these mental health issues. Like, so you're taking like risk, this one or this one? The choice is
Which one's
yours.
going to make you happier? Exactly. Staying in the job that you don't like and potentially making you unhappy, or taking a risk and potentially, winning, hitting the jackpot. I know which one I know which one I did pick. So, it's a gamble, it's a risk, but ultimately, if where you're staying right now isn't making you happy or isn't giving you the fulfillment that you seek, then in my mind, what have you got to lose? Because the worst they can say is no. They can't fire you, by the way, because I'm in HR and they can't fire you for you saying you're unhappy. No one can do that, by the way. Just so in case you're all curious, no one can do that. So if you go and they say no, and you think, oh my God, I've just told them I don't like my current job, they're going to fire me. First off, they're not going to fire you because they legally can't. And secondly, at least you now have an answer, and at least they now know that you're not happy, and they might do things that make it a little bit easier for you. So, you're not going to lose your job, and at least now you've communicated that you're unhappy. Or if you look at it from a positive lens, which is what I like to do, you've now told them that you're ambitious, but you're ambitious for, towards another goal now. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just saying you're being proactive and you're an ambitious person. It's just not on the current path that you're on, and you want them to help you, put you on the right path. And actually, as an employer, I think anyone that has, the courage to do that, who came up to me and did that, I would be like, wow, this is someone who is willing to take risk and is really passionate, has shown initiative. I think that's a solid employee you've got there. And I think if you can help them, you probably should, really. And if you can't, you certainly shouldn't punish them for it.
And having this conversation with your boss and manager is actually providing what kind of skills you really possess. Because, like, this conversation can't be taken by any employees. This takes courage. This takes, like, definitely more leadership skills. And, like, all these employers are looking for this.
100%. It shows the very act of you doing this or proposing something like this, having that meeting, doing that research, presenting, all of the work that you put into this shows skills that I think a lot of employers should, will want. And if they don't, want, certainly should know that you possess, because that means that you have the possibility to grow in so many ways. And I think, it should be something that more employers are open to, for sure. So yeah, don't punish yourself if you think, I'm nervous, I don't know what to do. Just be prepared, have the conversation, and the very act of you doing that, I think most employers are going to be very impressed, really, because I think it shows initiative as well.
And two quick notes here. Basically, that conversation definitely will be much more easier than all these thoughts that you had before that conversation. And the second, actually, our brain is operating in that way and in the past patterns that they are producing some negative situations, negative outcomes. So in the most of times, like, we are likely to think negative about that. Like, they will say no, they will do, I don't know, some screaming, like something like that, because that is actually brain pattern. Like, we all, and that brain pattern save us, because when we are working, like during the night, and we see something suspicious, like that part of brain is taking care of us. But also in the during the job tasks that we are doing on daily basis, the same part of our brain is saving us by having like this conversation, but like it shouldn't be like totally opposite, because these situations are more for our growth. It's not like we are not in the dark night and like someone is walking outside. So just like to be aware, actually, that is like normal. brain pattern is working like
Oh.
that. And like whenever you have like these negative thoughts, just like be aware, of course my brain is working like that. Let's take some action items, like what I can do and provide on that meeting with my mom, boss or manager.
Yeah, so true. It's, I think we're wired to be risk averse. I think that shouldn't be something that you're ashamed of. And if that's who you are, don't think there's something wrong with you. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you. Everyone is wired to be risk averse. Okay. Some people have changed the wiring so they seem a little bit more daring. But half the time, honestly, it's just recognizing fear for what it is and still doing it anyway. That's basically it. Your brain's doing it to protect you, but sometimes your brain isn't right. And sometimes actually, taking the risk really does pay off. And in this instance, I think, if you balance it, if you're like me, and I don't actually like risk. I'm actually quite, I love security, I love stability. And I still did this because I think for me, and if you're like me and you're not naturally a very risk-averse person, the way I calmed myself down and helped me feel capable or made me feel like I could do this was I prepared. I prepared. I made sure that I did all my research, wrote it all down, and had all my points and my ducks in a row and all of that so that I felt as empowered as I could be within a situation that I had no control over. So if any of you are thinking, well, I'm not that kind of person, I simply can't do that, neither am I. And I did it. And if you are prepared, it's the best you can do in a situation like that, because if you're not risk averse, it's a bit nerve-wracking. But if you've got all your points and you've preempted questions and you've got answers to the main important questions, then you're going to be as prepared as you can be, is how I view it.
And also that conversation doesn't need to be just like one meeting, because all the answers you don't have currently, you can come back. So that can be like discussion for more meetings, or it will be followed up by email. So you don't need to know everything in that moment.
Yeah, which is what I think what I said earlier, which is even if you're really well prepared, and if let's say they ask you a question that, oh God, I didn't think about it like that, or, oh God, I didn't have that in my notes, you can basically say, oh, that's a really good point. Can I just double check, or oh, can I have a think about it and get back to you as soon as possible? Like, no one's going to be mad at you for saying that. So you can absolutely say that, and you don't have to have all the scenarios pre-planned out in your head, because there's no way you're going to be able to do that. But be as prepared as you can be, and if something does catch you off guard, you can totally, like I said, just say, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Oh, that's a really good point. Let me just have a think about it, or let me look into it, and I'll get back to you. And chances are they're going to be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Simple as that, really.
And during your approach, how to actually do this and how to identify your strength gaps, like what you want to do, is actually you mentioned a very crucial thing, and that is actually writing down. And that is like definitely like most of us, we are just like thinking, it's boring, I don't need to write down. But just be
Yes.
mindful that actually, when you're writing down, especially by the pen, your brain is working in different way than just like you're thinking. Because when you're taking a paper and when you're writing by actual like hand, your brain is just focused on that moment without
Yes.
distractions, and it will produce what you really want, what you really like. Because when you are even typing on the laptop or like on the phone,
Yeah.
your brain is more open for distractions, and you will not see clearly what you really want.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Which is why, oh, sorry.
no worry, go ahead.
Which is why I said get a pen and paper. I didn't say make a spreadsheet. I didn't say make a Word document. I said get a pen and paper. And very much exactly what you said. Your brain works in a different way when you actually put pen to paper or pencil to paper. And for me, I had to physically see it. I had to physically concentrate on the act of writing down each thing because it was that important. Like, this is I cannot stress this enough. This is a decision no one should be making lightly, by the way. And so, based on that alone, you need to take it seriously and do it a bit differently than you would do, Maybe something else that isn't as, isn't as crucial, as important. You could write an email very quickly, but this isn't writing an email. This is you making a roadmap for your career change. And therefore, I think it should involve something a little bit more personal than just making a spreadsheet. If, especially if you're working digital at the moment, we work on spreadsheets all the time. Your life is more important than a spreadsheet than you can just make. You should write it down and you need to see it. And I think it massively helps me. So yeah, hence why I said pen and paper. It's a really, really good point. And I know it seems really boring, but honestly, it does make all the difference, especially seeing it. And once you start writing, the other thing I noticed as well is I thought, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to fill a lot of these columns in. Like there's maybe going to be maybe four or five each. As I kept writing, more and more kind of kept flowing from the brain to the pen, and I just kept thinking, oh my God, actually, there's quite a lot here. There was quite a lot to work with. And I think, had I just looked at a spreadsheet, I'm not sure it would have had the same effect, if I'm honest, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, that's so true. And I loved when you said like pen and paper, it takes more involvement, but actually, like, this is part of our life. So if we are not going to be involved in here, like, where we should go be?
Exactly. It's one of the, it's going to be a very, very important decision that you make here. And if you're going to commit and, go through with it, writing on a piece of paper suddenly doesn't seem like such hard work considering the gravity of the decision you're going to make. So, yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I think we are more involved in some Netflix series or some clients' problems, website things. But like when it comes to our life, like let's prioritize some other things. Like we can't go and be involved with a pen and paper.
Exactly. I don't have time for that. It's your life. I would find time for it, please. Yeah.
My God. I really love this. And the second thing, when you mentioned listen to yourself or others. So I really want to talk about this, like how to listen yourself and why people are, in most of cases, they are listening others more than themselves.
Ah, this is a great one. This is a really, really good one. And it was something that happened to me in my journey as well. So, with this, I did a lot of the research on my own, obviously, as I recommend you should, because it's your life and you should take ownership of your life. So that makes sense. But I did obviously discuss it with certain people in my life prior to meeting with my boss, because it's a huge decision. It's a huge decision. And one that I said, don't take lightly. So I highly recommend, and I should say this because I want to be responsible and make sure people are making good choices. If you are cohabiting with someone, or you share a mortgage, or you share family, you need to discuss this with the person you split your bills with, basically, because the decisions that happen after you make this choice are going to affect more than just you, unless you live on your own. If you don't live on your own, you live with someone else, someone you're like involved with, you need to have that discussion with them, because this does have potentially could have financial impact. So have a discussion. So that's what I did. I spoke to my partner. And now this is where my partner is a very supportive person, a very patient person. But I should be honest to everyone on this podcast or this video. Not everyone, but the people you love, pretty much like your brain, they want to protect you. Okay, the people, if they are good people, the people you speak to and the people who care about you want to protect you. And part of protecting someone is avoiding risk, or steering them away from risk, steering them away from, insecurity and back to stability and security. So if you are going to go through this process and you are going to speak to people about it, whether it's your partner, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, friends, whatever, listen to them. Chat with them, be very honest and say, I'm going to do this. I've done this research, but this is what I would like to do. And it may affect us in XYZ way. Be prepared for them to not be fully supportive of you, not because they don't want to see you happy, not because they don't care, but because people are risk averse. They want to protect you, and they will see you taking this risk as a, funny enough, a huge risk, and it makes people nervous. So if you're worried that, oh, I did all of this, I told my partner, and they weren't like, go get them, champ. They were more like, oh, well, don't be put off. Like, do not be discouraged, okay? They're not doing it because they don't want to help you and they don't want to see you happy. They're just worried. They want to have, to avoid risk. So when you tell them something like this, their natural instinct is to be like, oh, I'm not sure, or oh, what
Maybe
about the
you can think about
security?
it.
Yeah. So, the difference between listening to others and listening to yourself. So, yes, please talk to the people around you, get their perspective, get their opinion, but do not take it as gospel. Their word is not the final decision of your life, by the way. It's not. It just isn't. So they will have an opinion, and they will have an opinion that is hopefully based on, being supportive, but potentially a bit, oh, let's avoid risk. Do not be discouraged. At the end of the day, the person who is most affected by this is you, and therefore you have the final decision. So if you talk to someone you love or care about, and they don't give you an enthusiastic response, or they don't really throw their full support behind the idea, do not be discouraged. My partner was a little bit worried, if I'm honest. He's very, very supportive, very patient, but he was very concerned because I'd been doing this for over 10 years. We were, comfortable. Everything was okay. And here I was turning around being like, I want to change career path. I want to do it where I work now. But if it doesn't work where I work now, I may have to leave and find somewhere else, and it may be for less money. And I'm really sorry, but I've weighed up the options, and I've weighed up what's important to me, I should say. So not the options, but I've weighed up the options, and I've weighed up what's important to me. And this means a lot to me, and I have to do this. It made him a bit nervous, I think. So that's the honest truth. But now we're in a good place, and he's very happily says, you know what, you proved me wrong. You absolutely smashed it. You're doing such a good job. That doesn't mean that he never believed in me. Of course he believes in
Yeah.
me, but people are just a bit risk averse, and they want to protect you. So do not be discouraged. So listen to them, but listen to yourself in terms of the final decision, because you're the one it's going to affect the most.
So now, Kat, you can change your career org again.
I think my partner might have a heart attack if I did that. But yeah,
Yeah.
so that's important to mention. Yeah.
In this situation, what is happening? Because like this is so tough decision, like even for ourselves, like, and
Yes.
we are struggling. And then like when we go to talk with our partners, like friends, families, secretly, like we are looking for additional support.
Yes, secretly.
And
Yeah. We
then
want
there
them to
come,
just say yes. Yeah.
yes, yeah, to help us. But what in the
Yes.
reality, what is happening, you described that very well. And then it's even like worse for us. So
Yes.
what I would really recommend is actually not seeking for additional support, additional yes from others, because it's about you. Like definitely discuss with your partner, but also make sure to clarify and explain like why you are doing all this and how you will do it. Because if they see
Yes.
that kind of confidence and commitment in you that you will actually achieve this just like in another way, they will give you like totally different answer than just like saying like even they are worried and like they want to protect. But like if you know like what this path will look like and everything, they will get like even like more kind of security like for themselves, and then they will leave you alone. Yeah, like I can see you can do it and like go ahead. But just like if that some kind of like support is coming first internally from you and then externally from others.
100%. Hence why I said you're going to be your biggest cheerleader. You have to be your biggest cheerleader. So if you think someone else is going to be your biggest cheerleader, I would change that thinking very quickly, because like you said, you have to be confident that it's going to work. Because if you're confident and you tell someone else, and they can hear that you're confident and you've thought it through, they're going to feel more secure about giving their support. So, yeah, that's basically what happened with my partner. I almost saw approaching my partner as kind of like a soft trial of what I was going to tell my boss, if I'm honest. Like, I really did. Like, it was almost like a, like a rehearsal for the actual thing. And I pitched it pretty much like I was going to pitch it to my boss, and it worked, you know? So I would suggest that, like, I was cheering myself on. Like I said, I did the research. I had all the information. I, made a firm decision. I was confident as I could be. I approached my partner, explained it like I would do my boss. And yeah, he, at the end of the day, was like, you know what? It makes me a little nervous, but you sound like this is going to work because you clearly thought about this and you clearly care about it so much that actually I believe it's going to work as well. Not quite his words, but pretty much. He went, you know what? It sounds mad, but you sound so confident and you're willing to put so much work into this that I find I can't find any way that this wouldn't work because I was gonna make it work. One way or another, I was gonna make it work. So yeah, it is about being your own cheerleader, being confident and being prepared and speaking to other people in your life, but not asking their permission. Just saying, I've made the decision, but
Just
I am
telling them.
telling you. Yeah, I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you the game plan so that you feel confident that when it's happening, it's not going to be a surprise. But basically, I think this is the best thing in my life, and I would like you to support me. You know, I don't need you to support me, but I would like you to support me because it's going to work. And when you frame it like that, it's less you asking them for their permission and you less. You know, like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, almost asking them, like, what would I do? No, you have to tell them what you're going to do because then when you go to your boss, you've literally done it before, almost as a rehearsal. So, yeah, it's a very good point.
And I love how you rephrase it, because actually you made, again, like, very easy to say them, like, yeah, I support you, because like you did everything, like all this. And then like
Yes.
it's hard that people will say, like, besides our parents, because like they will not understand probably nothing. But
My mom still doesn't know what I do. She still thinks I work for Google, so it's fine.
oh yeah, my parents are there, and like they still don't understand like my
No,
coaching podcast. And then I just like said to them, like, I have an episode, don't come here, don't call me, don't do anything, don't scream, don't fight, just like for 1 hour, and like that's it.
Yeah.
All
Excellent. But
right,
yeah.
Kat, thank you so much for this talk. I really enjoyed. I think we brought huge value here for people who are considering, who are planning to somehow change their career path. I think you made like perfect approach how to actually do this, how to come with all these kind of like ideas to go through all this. So thank you so much for this. And I'm not sure if you are hearing, but that is my house watch, so they are clocking.
Oh, I see. I did wonder what that ringing noise was. I was like, oh, this is a fancy end to this conversation.
Actually, like, it did it like on every like hour. So basically they are clapping like 9, because it's 9 p.m. in Bosnia, and like I'm
Yeah.
feeling like I'm in church, so because like that's the sound.
That's the sound. No, thank you so much for having me. I really hope it helps someone out there because I think it's one of those things that people don't really talk about, but it's absolutely possible. And I think if this helps at least one person, get to where they want to be, then I'm going to be so happy. So yeah, it worked for me. If it doesn't work for you, see if you can adapt it. But I think for the most part, hopefully my advice will be universal across different, different industries as well. So whether you're in digital marketing or, you're in charity or education and you want to switch to another career within that industry, hopefully the same will still like the same advice and the same framework will still apply. So yeah, I really hope it helps a lot of people. So no, thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun.
Yeah, thank you. I think you basically mentioned what I was thinking is actually that possibility, because the biggest issue here that people don't believe in that possibility, and then they are done doing like anything around that. But basically, I hope if they watching us or hearing us anywhere in the future, they will have clear steps around this.
Yes.
So
Yes,
thank
because
you,
no one
Kat.
teaches you how to do this. So yes, hopefully
Yes,
the
but
steps will help.
no one except Kat.
Yes, indeed. But no, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Bye. Bye.